It has been a great joy, amen, to be here in church service, and I pray that to continue, and I pray that from revival meeting that you won't forget some of these things that we shared, and the stories, the illustrations, and going back and looking at the Bible verses. Vaughn tells me that everything is uploaded, or soon to be uploaded on the internet to tell others about it. And if you know any other good independent fundamental Baptist church and pastors, tell them about us. We'd love to go share our ministry and to be a great blessing to them too. Amen. But it's been a great joy to be here in church. And we got lots to do, a lot of verses to look at, a lot of encouragement, but a lot of challenge for you tonight. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. Psalm right there in the middle of the Bible again. Psalm 133, wonderful passage of Scripture. And we'll read this together and then have a word of prayer, speak about it, and go to other passages. But tonight I want to talk to you about this one specific topic. We've talked about Barnabas. We've talked about each of us being a Barnabas and a helper, a comforter, a strengthener, an empowerer in the church. Encouraging others like a bus, amen, helping people to get from point A to point B. And I got to turn this little pacemaker on. They're getting mad at me in the back, so I'll turn this little thing on. I'm a walkie-talkie preacher, so I got to turn my walkie-talkie on.
What it is. Ta-da! So that's what a bus does. A bus helps to get people from point A over to point B in our spiritual life. Praise the Lord, there's been some folks in our life that have helped us to grow spiritually from point A to point B. And my friend, it's now your turn to help others to grow from point A over to point B by being a Barnabas. And then last night we talked about not only being a Barnabas, but we talked about having our cup overflowing. And the Lord, it is He who overflows our cup. Because it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. Amen? It's just like Him. When God blesses, He doesn't give you a little bit. He fills your cup up to overflowing. To do what? Like I was sharing with Tavon, that it being overflowing and then sharing with others, and that encouragement is catchy. It's contagious. Amen? Did you hear how Vaughn was playing the piano tonight? Man, he got revived. Vaughn, I love you, brother. Amen. That's why I pick on you. Amen. That's why I pick on you. But kind of, maybe that's why he's sitting in the back row tonight. I don't know. But you know, when our cups are filled to overflowing, we're allowing that to go out. And in a church, together, we are doing all this together. And that's called unity. And may we be in unity as a body of Christ for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Psalm 133. It says this. Behold. Now, my Bible, they capitalized the whole word behold. I don't know about yours, but that's just how they did it. But in a way, in the English language, behold means behold. Looky here, my friend, he says. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life evermore. Things working together in unity. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, dear Lord, for tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, for how you moved in last night. And folks that stepped out to make a decision for you. To pour themselves out of themselves and to allow you to fill them up. And dear Lord, maybe be willing and to obey and do the same tonight, to allow you to use our hearts and mold our hearts. And then again, may we be obedient to your call. But Lord, tonight, bless the challenge. I just want to be a blessing and encouragement that, dear Lord, that what you have, what your scriptures say, will remain. Lord, we love you. We praise you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a unique passage of scripture here. A whole song. David wrote this song of degrees. Degrees were songs that they sang as they were marching towards Jerusalem to worship. And as they're making their way, they were singing this wonderful song, a unique song, all about unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Can you sing? I don't know what the tune was. It's even in a different language when they sang it then. But can you imagine how, behold, behold, how good and pleasant it is to a brother to dwell in unity. You know, I don't know what it was. Miss Holzclaw, that was pretty good. Did you write that down for me? I don't think I ever do that again. I just made it up. That's just how it is. But can I tell you, it is. It is good and it is pleasant to dwell together in unity. It even explains, it's like unto this ointment. This ointment, as I mentioned, like unto the Holy Spirit. As the anointment was given unto Aaron, it flowed down his head and to his beard and down to his skirts. It flowed together in a unity of speed and motion and a covering. Not only that, but as the dew of Hermon, it says here, the Hermon was a mountain. And as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord, it said, as the dew would gather there on the top of the mountain, it would gather together in little trickles and little streams to a little river, and, as my wife would call it, creek. Amen. I call it a creek, but she calls it a creek. And so as it would go and would flow and flow down and feed the valley with the water, the refreshing giving of life water, the unity of working together. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's a blessing in unity. There's life in unity in the church and in our hearts and in our homes. But I want you to see this first verse again. We're going to flip it around just a little bit. Let's take it in the negative, shall we? Instead of behold, just keep that. How good? What's the opposite of good? Bad. That's a good one. We'll just say bad. And how pleasant? What should we say for the opposite of pleasant? Terrible. Terrible. Awful. Yeah. Unpleasant. Well, these are good. These are all good. They're all good. I said, how stinky. You know, something that's pleasant. Oh, that's so pleasant. This is stinky. So it says here how bad and how stinky it is for brethren to dwell together in what's the opposite of unity? Division. I like this word too. That's a good word. I like the word mutiny. I like the word mutiny. Unity, mutiny. Kind of fits in there. But it is. Behold how bad and how stinky it is for brethren to dwell together in mutiny. My friend, it is stinky. You ever seen a professional baseball team? They're out there playing. And one is mad at another. And the coach is mad at another. They play stinky. How about football teams? When they don't work together in unity, a quarterback and his receiver. You're supposed to be at that point. It's five steps up, three steps over, turn and I pitch it. You weren't there. And the answer was, I didn't want to be there. I told you I didn't want to play today. I told you I didn't want to be here today. You didn't give me a raise. I don't want to be here. You gave the catcher a raise, but you didn't give me a raise. You gave the center a raise, and all he does is just sit there and hand you the ball. Me, I'd run my little legs off all day. He got a raise. I didn't get a raise. Stinky. A basketball team where everybody's mad at this star player and nobody wants to give him the ball. Or a star player that doesn't want to share. That's stinky. That's stinky. But when a team works together, you know, I believe that for Michael Jordan, for all that he is and was and all that and his life and all that, when he played, my friend, he played in unity. 90% of the game was him passing the ball. It's only when they really needed the star to turn on did he turn it on. And yeah, he showboated from time to time. That was for the money. But he was what he was because he knew how to work in unity. And can I tell you something? It's the same in a church. A church working together, a church singing together, a church moving forward together. It is good. It is pleasant. And for this, when people come and they walk in through the back door, they can sense it. They can sense when things are good. They can sense when things are pleasant. And can I tell you something? They can sense it when it's bad and stinky too. I've been in churches, not this one, y'all sing really well. Praise God, you sing. We've been in churches where everybody's got the hymn books and they're going, "That's right, Jesus." I said, why do they sing like that? Oh, then I looked at the platform and the song leader singing, "Jesus is mine." Okay, well, they're just doing what they see. One family sits on this side, another family sits on that side. They're divided in the church. People don't want to invite visitors to come to church anymore because of problems and trials and all this other stuff. "You're not coming to my church. We're fighting down there." And of course, people will come because they like to see a good fight. But not to join. "I'm not joining that church. What are you talking about?" But a good church, a pleasant church, because it's good and pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. So tonight, what is this unity? I'm glad you asked. Turn now to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 27. That's way over in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I do have a lot of verses. Some I'll just quote out to you. Others I'll give you an opportunity to turn to. This one we're going to be at for a while. The message is built from this passage here. Philippians 1, 27 says this. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Paul says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That. See, Paul's saying here that he wants to hear something specific. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That is our unity. That is our rope. That is our connection with one another. The Bible says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And my friend, through these things that we are unified in, we can work together and move forward in. Paul's saying here, first of all, only let your conversation, he says, that word there, conversation, that doesn't just mean your speech. That just doesn't mean you're talking to one another. That is what people see of you and hear of you and know of you. It is your lifestyle or your manner of living. You know, the guy says, "You should not drink, you should not drink, you should not drink alcohol or beer or anything like that." But when you call to find him, oh, he's down at the bar watching TV. Your conversation is speaking, your outward appearance and your actions and your placement is saying something completely different than what you're saying. To say that I'm a Christian but I dress like the devil, there's something different, something wrong there. If I say, I love God, and I got a rock t-shirt on it with a devil on it, my conversation is double-minded. What are people going to believe? Are they going to believe what I say, or are they going to believe what they see? What's the old saying about people, don't tell me how much you care until you show me how much you care. Someone can say, I love you, I love you, I love you all the time, but don't do anything to show it. You kind of doubt that love. Not a smile, not a grunt. Honey, I don't know why you want me to tell you I love you. I told you I love you when we got married 20 years ago. Ain't that enough? No, it's not. But more than just the word, the demonstration of it, that's our conversation. Let our conversation, let our lifestyle, he says. What should it be like? It should be like, as it says, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. As it becometh the gospel of Christ. May our life be that of Christ. And that of Christ is the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find, and through this chapter alone, if you were to go back and read chapter 1 all by itself, you will find Paul mentions the necessity of the gospel in verse 5 and verse 7 and verse 12 and verse 17 and in verse 27 here. The gospel is the main thing. Without the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are empty. We are vain and vanity, which means empty and of emptiness. Paul said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Christ be not risen, the Bible says, our faith is in vain because Christ arose, amen. Because he arose, and I do serve that risen Savior today. That is who I am. That is what we are. That's why the church. Jesus told Peter, Peter, you're just a little stone. But upon this rock, amen, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was speaking of himself. And he was speaking of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul is instructing the church here at Philippi. He says, only, singularly, let your conversation, your lifestyle, your manner of living be, let it be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And then he says this. He says, see, Paul's writing to them because he's not there with them. He says that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. My friend, I don't know what's going to happen this year, this upcoming year. The Holtzclaw family, we're taking off. We're heading our way down to Florida and ministering down to Florida. Then we're scooting all the way over to California, hitting churches, helping churches on the way out to California, coast to coast, picking up our daughter in California, coming back to the northern states, making a whirlwind trip, working along the way, seeing some sights along the way, striving to see some souls saved along the way, helping some churches to be unified and strengthened along the way. That's who we are. That's what we do. But all along, my friend, while we're gone, and we may come back, I don't know. We haven't talked about it. But whether we come back or not, I pray I hear of your affairs. I'm going to call your preacher. I do call your preacher from time to time. How's that sound system working? How are things going now? Now I know you. How's that guy that drives that crazy three-wheel vehicle out there? How about all those guys that wear plaid? Wearing that plaid outfit. I want to hear of your affairs. I want to hear good things. Wouldn't you want to hear good things from the Holtzclaws and what we're doing? Wouldn't you want to hear what's going on in our life? Wouldn't you like family? That's what Paul's saying. I want to hear good things, he says. So he's instructing them that we ought to be this way as becometh the gospel. But he says, but whether I come and see or else I be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, comma, that may our affairs be like this. Number one, may we be steadfast in one spirit. The word steadfast means to stand still, to stand firm, to hold strong. It is actually a military term, to stand fast. In the Civil War, maybe you've heard of the Battle of Gettysburg, and there was the 20th Maine. They made a movie out of it called Gettysburg, and they brought out about this colonel I can't remember his name right now. But anyways, he was there. I'll come back to me in a minute. Chamberlain, that's it, Chamberlain. And him having a small force, and he was commanded to hold the far left flank. He was it. His men were it. If his group of men fell on the far flank, then the enemy could come up and sweep everybody from the side up the mountain and back down the mountain again. And so he was told to stand fast. Any questions? Stand fast to when? To the last hope? The last shell? The last man? Oh, my friend, stand fast means to the last man. To not give up, but to hold. And Paul's saying, may we be steadfast. May we stand fast. In what? First of all, as we stand fast together, we ought to do it in one spirit. Amen. One spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, but he that is joined unto the Lord is of one spirit. If you would be so kind to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. As you're turning to Ephesians 4 verse 3, try to listen along. 1 Corinthians 12:13-14 says, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We are of one spirit. Ephesians 4:3, you with me? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Paul's now preaching to the church at Ephesus. He says, endeavoring, purposefully, with much effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says in verse 4, for there is one body, that's the body, there's one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. We have the same calling. We have the same hope. We are of the one same body. Why? Verse 5. Because we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen? There aren't many Christs. There's one. There's only one Savior. And there's only one faith. There's only one way to get to heaven, through Jesus. And in that, there's only one baptism. My friend, that baptism being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but through that baptism of regeneration, the baptism through the baptismal waters, my friend, I got baptized just the same way you did. Amen? Some folks differently. Some folks had to get baptized twice because a big toe came out. I don't know, but you got to get baptized. Baptized one guy, and he grabbed a hold of the glass, and he wasn't going down. Reaching over there, grabbing his hand with my other hand, trying to get him to let go so he'd go under. In the meantime, he's going, bloop, 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 bloop. I've heard some stories. I'm glad it wasn't me. But I've heard some stories of folks going down with the baptizee. But we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I like this. Isn't this good? We have one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. My friend, a beginner and beginner preacher in homiletics 101 should be able to get a message out of that. Getting an outline. Because we serve one God, my friend, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen? He's in you all because we have one spirit. And we ought to be steadfast in one spirit. But not only that, but of one mind. Of one mind. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we ought to be of one mind with one purpose and one goal. And in that, to be preaching the same message and to have the same glory given unto the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. My friend, we need to be of one mind. There's so many verses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 talks about us being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. I don't have my cup, it's on the back table. You want a blessing? Then be a blessing. That's unity. Being of one spirit, but also, as I said there in Philippians 1:27, now being of one mind, but only being of one mind, but now he says striving together. Romans 15, verse 30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to me, to God, for me. Let's strive together. Paul is a missionary saying, will you pray for me? Will you pray for us? And I'll pray for you as we are working for the gospel's sake, he says. Acts 1:14 talks about the first church. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. They were all together working. Acts 2:46 and 47 says, and they continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. It says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, my friend, we have a duty before us to be in unity so that people can be saved, so people can be added to the church, and people can come together. It is our unity. That's what makes us different. In a day and age of diversity, we have more division than ever. Than ever. And they don't play by their own rules. They don't out there. If it's family, it's no big deal. But if you're outside the family or the race or the whatever, it's racism. That's religious persecution. Unless you're a Christian, then we don't have religious persecution. We just deserve it. We're living in a day and age that people are really expecting us to show the way. They really are. They're expecting us to hold the rope. To hold the rope. This rope is our connector. Pastor, will you help me? Ask Pastor if he'd help me. Grab a hold of that for me. All right. I'm going to pull this way. Let's see. Can I borrow your daughter for a minute? I normally use my daughter. She would come. Hold that right there. Yeah, just pull it a little tight. Don't play a full tug of war with your dad because I know you'd lose. But anyways, Pastor, can you step up for me a little bit? Okay? There's a struggle between the people of God and the church of God and the gospel than those that are lost out in the world. Sorry. It has a happy ending, trust me. It does have a happy ending. And you know, and so a pastor comes into the area and he's pulling, he's trying to save some from the fire. He throws out, like the song says, throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. Okay, there's some dear brother that needs to be saved. Amen. I'm making it up now, but this is true. This is the lifeline. The gospel is the lifeline. Amen. Brother Steve, can you help me? You see, so he's pulling. And he's trying to save folks from the fire. And a church starts this way. Sometimes it starts with one, it starts some with help. Come on this side of me. Steve's over here and he's in the world. He's lost as can be. And he's pulling against the church. Sometimes he goes against the people of God. He's a church. And so he's pulling against the church over here. And sometimes the church feels it. There's been people to come in. We were talking today about people picketing churches for their stand on the Word of God. But what happens? Preacher pulls enough and he goes enough and he meets Steve and he talks to him and Steve gets saved. Isn't that good? And he comes over here on this side now. So now he's helping in the church. He learns a pastor. He learns how to tell people about Jesus. He learns about the unity of spirit. Pastor, you read the Bible? I want to read the Bible. Pastor, you pray? I want to learn how to pray. Pastor, you tell people about Jesus? I want to learn how to tell people about Jesus. So what he's doing, he's grabbing a hold of the rope, and he's helping to pull. Put both hands in there. But don't actually pull, though. Just pretend, okay? I know. And so now, is he able to pull more? Is the church doing more because someone's involved? Absolutely. And so there's always going to be somebody out there that needs to be saved. But I'm going to pretend that I'm lost and I'm fighting the church too. I'm fighting Steve, actually. Hey, Steve, man, we worked together, man. You used to be big time. You used to tell me all kind of crazy stories, man. Tell me another bad story. Tell me another evil thing. Oh, come on, Steve, tell me. I remember who you used to be. And Steve says, no, I don't do that anymore. No, I don't do that. So I'm pulling against him, trying to pull him out of the church. But all along, he and Pastor are trying to pull me in. Isn't that good? I have a little trouble in my heart. Got a little trouble with the family, a little trouble, and I need some help. Guess who I'm going to go to? The one that's pulling on me. And so now I'm pulled over. Oh, Steve, I don't know what to do. He says, you need to talk to my preacher. So we go over and we talk to the preacher. And, hallelujah. Brother Holt's going to get saved. Amen. So I come over here, and I want to learn. Well, Steve prays. How do I pray? And he teaches me how to pray. I don't even read my Bible. I read the Bible. I got to come out. Hey, there's a Saturday men's prayer breakfast. Hey, I got to get in on that. And I'm going to tell some of my friends too. So now I'm getting on the rope too. And we're going to pull against the world over here too. And we're going to try to save some more. Don't move anywhere. Stay out there. You got to resist. You know why? Here's a wicked one out there. Yeah. Yeah. So we're pulling against the world. We're going at it. It's not easy. Sometimes we're going to get in it. Sometimes we're dirty. Sometimes we're slipping. We're in the church, but this is unity, pulling together. You ever seen a rope tug of war, and those guys are saying, hoo-ah, and they're pulling together. They pull more together than they do by themselves. Now, but what happens sometimes in the church is that this mutiny kicks in. Let's see. Okay. I had to see what it was. It was different. I'm in church one day, and pastor's preaching away. Boy, he's just going. The mule has done got loose on pastor. Okay? He's going to town. He's just going to town. Man, he's just saying whatever God puts in his mind, out it goes. And he preaches against men wearing red shoes. But I like my red shoes. I don't remember reading anything in the Bible about red shoes, Steve. I mean, preacher's peeking on me. I can't. And so if I get disgruntled, what am I going to do? No. If I was going to be right with God, yes. Okay, I would deal with it, okay? But right now, I got my feelings hurt. I'm offended. And so guess what I'm not doing? I'm not pulling my weight anymore. That could be in many different ways. Not telling people about the Lord, not abiding in the church, not tithing, not giving to the different things we need to give to, not giving towards my missions that I promised to do. No, I'll show that preacher. I'll show that church. I'm going to withhold my tithe. You know, the tithe isn't the preacher's. And the tithe really isn't the church's. The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Malachi says, will a man rob God? But ye have robbed me. Wherein have we robbed thee? And your tithes and offerings, they're unto the Lord. We let go. We stop helping. In fact, misery loves company. Some of you, Steve, he's talking about my shoes, Steve. He's talking about my shoes, man. I can't believe he's talking about my shoes. I can't believe you go to a church like that. I can't believe you have a pastor like that. So what I'm actually doing is that now I'm pulling against him. Although I'm in the church, I'm not pulling against him. I'm trying to stumble Steve up here. And what happens in turn, Steve says, I don't want any part of that. Brother Tammy, you just need to get right with God. I don't think Pastor meant that, but man, if you're going to be that way, then go around to the other side. He says, I'm for Pastor because he is right. But we'll pray about it. So now I'm on the outside of the church. I'm still trying to pull. But who am I pulling with now? But I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Can a Christian pull with the world? Absolutely, when they pull in opposition to the church. You see how important unity is? See, now Steve comes to me and he talks with me. He offers restitution. He says, I chatted with Pastor, and, you know, Pastor didn't realize that he had said that. You know, sometimes us preachers do say things that really, you know, kind of, woo, you know. She, yeah, she's heard me say it. She's saying, go on, go on. So you know what? I talk with Steve, and we pray about it. You're right, Steve. I'm wrong. So now I come back over here, and I talk with Pastor. I do what I'm supposed to do. I get it right. Mm-hmm. Pastor, I'm sorry. I noticed the other day you have red shoes, too.
Amen. Probably just not polished right now.
Not polished right now, no. I did see you over there clicking them three times. No place like home. There's no place like home.
Trying to get back to Kansas, man.
Yeah, amen. So I get things right, I get back on the rope, and now we're pulling against the world all the way. We pull her all the way in now, and so now we have saved another precious soul. Amen? Thank you so very much. Unity. Unity. Now, don't go very far, though, because I got one last illustration before we're done. I'm going to leave it right here. Unity. See, we pull together for the cause of Christ. We pull together to save some from the fire. We pull together in unity. Why? Why? How? Because it is the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus for the faith of the gospel. First, we need to have boldness in the gospel. Paul says in Romans 1:16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power, my friend. Amen. So we need to speak it with boldness. But not only that, for the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians 1. Are you still there in Philippians 1? If you are, go to verse number 12. Philippians 1:12 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The persecution Paul went through, the beatings Paul went to, the stonings Paul went through, and being kicked out and left for dead, Paul says, that was for the gospel. That wasn't because I was doing anything wrong or God was doing anything wrong or anything like that. That was so the gospel can get out and Paul helped to get the gospel around the world. And that's what we ought to be doing. For the faith of the gospel, we need to hold together in unity for the boldness, for the furtherance, and also for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1, verse 17. He says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set, Paul says, for the defense of the gospel. He was ready. He was set. He was standing fast and holding true for the faith of the gospel. And my friend, so many of our churches have forgotten that. So many of our brethren have forgotten that. They think it's more about program. They think it's more about having a play or having a concert or having puppets going off or video or just music. And music's fine. Music's good. But it has its place. It's the foolishness of preaching that convicts the heart and the soul. Amen. The music's just to help prepare the heart for it. It's to soften us up a little bit, a bunch of softies. Because we have a job to do. And that job is to get the gospel out around the world. And we do that through unity. In our dictionary, it says unity. Unity means a oneness, a condition of harmony, continuity without deviation or change, solidarity, integrity. It means one body moving in one direction to accomplish one goal and to receive one reward. That one body, that's the church. That one direction is heaven. It's forward. It's towards God and His will. That goal, to serve God, to win souls, to baptize them, and to teach them, and to train them. And that reward, oh my friend, that reward's a crown. That's a crown one day. By the faithfulness of God's people and the faithfulness of soul winning, the faithfulness of a preacher, and faithfulness of just watching for His coming, there's a crown. But my friend, those crowns are for us, but we won't keep them. See, there we'll have a pure heart. For there we shall be like Christ. For there we know who truly has earned those crowns. And it's not me and it's not you. It's the Lord and Savior who left the portals of heaven to walk among men to die on that old rugged cross. Because He gave His life so that I could have it. And my friend, we have a job to do to get the gospel out around the world. We, us, working, pulling together, helping, caring, and sharing. William Carey, back in the early 1800s, got saved, started going to church and being involved in church, had a burden for the lost and had a burden for lost souls around the world. He was in this meeting of businessmen and preachers, and they were talking about how to get the gospel out around the world to that uttermost part of the world. And in that meeting, William Carey made a statement that has been heard again and again and again in missions realms. He said, "If you hold the rope, I'll go down the well. If you hold the rope, I will go down into that well." I can tell you something. Back to the rope illustration, Pastor. I need you again. I know you're writing it down. I don't want you to forget that. Hold it right here. Now I'm going to go this way. You see, as a church influence, or shall I say a pastor's influence, may seem like he's got a lot of people that he knows, and he gets around and he talks to a lot of people, but it's only so far. He's only going to meet so many people. And his mission outreach to send a missionary will only go so far. But many hands make for light work. You see, our goal is to get around this whole auditorium in just a minute. But for the gospel's sake, we need to get around the whole world. We really do. Anybody have a piece of rope? You got a piece of rope? Anybody got a piece of rope? Bring your piece of rope. You got a piece of rope? Come here. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Now, I want you with one hand hold this rope here. So this young lady says, "Pastor, I want to join in. I want to be a part of this unity." And you're going to grab a hold of this one. And I'm going to come over here. Even with these two ladies, I'm further down. Grab a hold of this one. Oh, a nice jump rope. There you go. Grab a hold of that little thing. Come on out, buddy. Come on. There you go. All right. Anybody have a rope? Anybody has a piece of rope? Piece of rope? Now, to make this go a little bit faster, let's go. If you have a piece of rope, just come join me. What I want you to do is grab the rope next to you with one hand and then extend the other one with right. Somebody else is with yours with. Grab a hold there. Extend. Grab a hold of this one. Extend, move down, move down, move down. Let me step behind you. The missionary's got to keep on going. Got to keep on going. We got to go farther. Got your yarn? Put your yarn in his hand. Grab a hold of this one. There you go. I'm going to step in front. Go down, go down. Grab a hold of peace. Grab a hold of peace. You're in a knot. Get out of knot. Come on. Come on up. It's your turn now, this side. Don't let them undo you. They've already got halfway around the auditorium. They're halfway around the world. They need some help. These missionaries need help to get around the field world. Hey, folks in your community need more people out there telling them about Jesus. They need to get around. Grab the one and grab the other. Grab the with your left hand, grab the your the person behind you's yarn, and then put yours in your right hand. Grab a hold, grab a hold, grab a hold. Oh, we're getting there. I'm going to step here in the middle. She got a hangman's noose. Oh, no. Well, I'll tell you what. It won't let go. It won't let go as we are circling around. Come on. There we go. Come on down and around. You didn't think we could make it all around, did you? Can I tell you something? We got enough rope here to go around and around and around. Especially that guy's in that bag right there. We can go around, 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 around. Now, I want you to see something in this illustration. I brought some extra just in case. But you know what? No, we didn't need it. We didn't need it. You see, each rope is a little bit different. Did you notice that? Each one has a different length to it. There are some people that have a greater influence or greater abilities than others. We're all different shapes and sizes and differences of abilities. But each and every link is important in order to get the gospel out around in your community, to get the gospel out around this town and in the next town and this state and this country and this world. You can do it. Your missionaries out there on the wall that you already support need your help. Get to know them. Tell them that you're tied in with them and that you'll hold the rope for them. Let them know that. Because this is unity. But when there's somebody that gets disgruntled, the link breaks. And we lose that distance, that ability. And so tonight, church, right where you are, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, all across the auditorium, if you'd like to just drop your rope where you are, that's fine. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. I wanted you to see this. It's just a little simple illustration of unity and being linked together for a common goal for the gospel's sake. We're filled with the gospel, then let's share the gospel. But Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Lord, help us. Help each and every one of these as they hold the rope. For those that are going out and hold the rope for the pastor and hold the rope in connection for this church and have been a part of this church and supporting this church and supporting this ministry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And thank you, dear Lord, for the missionaries that they have, that they are able to send out to here in America and those that are sent around the world. My prayer, pastor's prayer, is that you're able to do more. And dear Lord, I pray this church does more. And may this church always be a good place. And always be a pleasant place where the brethren are dwelling together in unity and not a bad place. And not a stinky place. Lord, keep it pure and keep it whole and keep it holy. And keep it moving forward for you. But Lord, we love you. We praise you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Vaughn's going to play a little bit of music. If you'd like to take your rope back to your pew, thank you so much for the help and the illustration. I hope you can see the great need of the rope. And as you make your way back to your pew, I want to say thank you again, Pastor, for letting us come. It was just our desire to be a blessing to you. Something a little different. Okay. Something a lot different. Something to get you out of your pew. and to show that you can. You can get out of your pew and meet new people and be a Barnabas to them, because you're an extension of this church. You're an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're an extension of your missionaries out there on the mission field. They're not here. You are. And this is your mission field, to tell others about Jesus. And so tonight, as we again, now that we're seated, let's bow our heads one more time. And let's give this moment to God. Can you honestly say that you're linked in? Can you honestly say that you're in good fellowship? Can you honestly say that you are in unity? In any shape, form. You know, I know some folks that have lost unity in the church. They still come. They're still here. They're still a part of it. But they're just holding back. They're kind of just lingering in the middle. Oh, my friend, this church can go forward. And it starts with you, by grabbing a hold and joining in again. Before you do that, you must first let go of yourself. Foolish pride. Bitterness, anger. All that is a blessing to the devil for hindering the work of God. So now let's have an invitation. If God spoke to your heart tonight about where you are, you linked in, how is your giving? How is your missions giving? How is your going? How is your tract distribution? How is your witness? When's the last time you invited someone to church? Your church, where your friends are. Oh, my friend, I just know God can do great things here. He has. And there's still greater things yet to come. Preventative medicine, I say. For it is good and pleasant for brethren to dwell in unity. Who tonight would raise their hand and say, Brother Holtzclaw, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Beyond a shadow of doubt, I know that I'm going to heaven. Here's my hand. Praise God. Amen. Don't let that be old. Let that be a testimony, fresh and new every time. As we put our hands back down, would there be anybody here to say tonight, Brother Holtzclaw, I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. I'm not even saved to know that I'm linked in to a church. But I need to get saved tonight. I need Jesus tonight with our heads bowed. Is that you? Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Anybody like that tonight? I do not know, but I sure would like to know. Thank you, sweetie. I sure would like to know that I'm saved and how to get saved. Would you pray for me tonight? Usually on Wednesday night, it's church folks, and I'm glad that you're here. Now, don't raise your hand for this next question, but can you honestly say that you're where you need to be for your church? If not, you need to be at an old-fashioned altar. Are you helping the church? Or are you hindering the church? My friend, that's between you and God, and I would hate to be at odds against God. I'd encourage you to come and get it right tonight. That's revival. That's revival. This is your revival. This is the last night of the services of revival, but revival spirit can continue. But let it start tonight in your heart. Danny, Father, Lord, bless we now, we pray in Jesus' name. Pastor.
Page 91. Him, and God's spoken to your heart, come. Come to the altar and pray. You want somebody to pray with you? We'll do that. Page 91. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me.